There's nothing like the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. That's if you're not letting it be in vain. That blood he shed, you better keep it at work. Amen. Keep those sins under the blood. Amen. When I mess up, repent. Get it under the blood, or that name is in vain. Amen. What he did is in vain. Praise God. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5. We're so glad you're here today. Amen. You being at church is important. Amen. When you're not here, you're part of the body's not here. Amen. And it doesn't operate properly. So I encourage you to be in the house of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. It says, "Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know it very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on the pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He did for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Amen. Turn to Matthew 25 and verse 13. "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Amen. We gotta stay alert. Amen. We gotta stay vigilant, because we're living in the last days. Amen. That's our lesson today. We're gonna talk about living in the last days. I believe this, we are living in the very last days of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to be ready. Amen. If there's any hour right now, is the hour to be ready to meet the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Lord, we pray today that you would just speak in this word today, God, and that your word would touch and minister to our hearts, God, and let us not grow weary, Lord, but keep our eyes fastened upon you and what you're getting ready to do. Lord, that we can be ready and we can take others with us, Lord. We praise you and we bless your name today. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Be seated. The coming again. Jesus is coming again. This coming that we're talking about in the Bible is also known as the rapture of the church, the being caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The time of the rapture of the church is not given in Scripture. No man knows the day or the hour which our Lord shall come. Amen. If people start telling you those things, that's false. That is a lie. Amen. Nobody can put a number or a time on when God is going to split that eastern sky. Amen. It is something that we can know the season of, though. The Bible talks about the season of the coming of the Lord. We can feel that His coming is near. Amen. So we must always be watching for the coming of the Lord. Keep your eyes, spiritual eyes, awakened to what is happening around this world. Amen. And realize that it's just, when you watch, if you watch the news, it's just like flipping through the chapters of the Bible. And things are happening that have been prophesied about and have been told about. Jesus is coming. Matthew 24, 42 through 51. It says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in the household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of his possessions. But suppose the servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And if I go and prepare a place for you, back up there. If I go to prepare a place for you, there he's going to come again. Amen. Let me find out where I was here. The master is staying away a long time, and then begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and the hour he is not aware of. And he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, that where we will be weeping, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. When Jesus returns, he will gather the church from the earth. He's coming after you and me. Those that have repented of their sins, been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and have lived holy, separated lives unto Christ. Amen? The first part of that is the initial entrance into the kingdom of God. That's not living for God. Yeah, the Bible says keep that burning, but there's a whole lot more in our lives that we have to do to make heaven our home. That's living holy, obeying the word, getting the word of God hidden in our heart, and finding out what's displeasing to God. And then not only just knowing that, but being a doer of it, putting it into action. If the word is telling us to do something, then we must follow the word. Amen? Because our flesh doesn't want to follow the things of God. But if the Spirit is willing, we need to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost in our life. Because one day, Jesus is going to split the skies. He is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. Amen? You don't know what tomorrow brings for you. whether we're caught up or he takes you. You have no hope other than you knowing that you're going to be with the Lord. That's where our hope lies. If we're living this righteous life, amen, allowing the Spirit of Christ to lead and guide us, amen, we must follow him. While the time is uncertain, the fact is not. We know he's coming. When? We can kind of get an idea, but we can't nail it down to a specific time or a date. Amen. That is not true. So many times, many people have tried to nail it down and say he is coming this time at this date, and it's going to happen. And that time has come and passed, and we're all still here, and they look like fools. Amen. We need to understand what the scripture says. In other words, just live for God. Don't fuss around with the world, the things of the world. Amen. The pieces of the world that we hold on to. You know, Achan took a few Babylonian garments, and that kept them from receiving the promises of God. He didn't even wear them. He just hid them in the ground. But he was doing that out of lust and hunger to be like the world, to have the things of the world. So if that is something that you got going on in your life, you just got a piece of the world that you just can't let go of, make sure that it's not displeasing to the Lord. Because I would hate to done everything that I know to do for God, but one little thing, one little garment, one little piece that I held on to of the world, and I would not allow that to be rid in my life, and I lose out and I'm left. Sister Pat? Right? Right? Yes, you... I was just talking with Brother Darren this morning. The things that we as parents do in in moderation, our children will do in excess. So you think, well, I'm just doing this and it's no big deal. But your children are going to go farther than what you're going. And they're going to do things that you would never dream of doing. So it's very important that we look at who is following us. Who are we being examples to? How are we leading them? How are we getting them ready for the coming of the Lord? Amen? Do you really understand the impact of Christ's coming? There's going to be people that are left behind. And as the world has painted this pretty picture that, oh, there'll be a way of escape even when they're left behind. And they'll be able to allow their heads to be chopped off and be able to make it in the end, when it all comes down. That is a lie. If you can't live for God right now and give up simple little things that would keep us out of heaven, you're not going to do it when the pressure's on. Amen? It's easy to live for God now. Amen? It's easy to rid ourselves from the world now. Amen? We're living in, especially in this country. Amen. We are in a country where we can come to church as will, where we want to go, any church we want to be a part of. Amen. We can shout and scream and yell as loud as we want. Nobody says a word. But in that day, you're not going to be able to do that. And if you struggle coming to church now, you ain't going to do it then. Brother Pritt? No. right? Right. If you feel right now that you can't speak about Jesus Christ where you work, you're already dealing with it. You've got the Holy Ghost. You've got Christ in you, or with your family. You can't stand up and say this is right and this is wrong, and we're not going to live that way. You're not going to do it in the end. Don't believe that lie. Don't convince yourself that I can make it then. Amen. It's not going to happen. When Jesus Christ comes, be ready to meet him. Amen. Rid yourself of the things that are displeasing to him and walk. Today is the day of salvation. So I must make sure that my spirit, my heart, my life, beyond receiving his spirit, beyond being baptized in his name, that's the beginning. There's a whole lot of living for God, being obedient, being just doing what I have to do, the necessities of living for God, just praying and reading the word and just the simple things of life that we do as Christians. Then living in holiness and things of those natures. There's a lot that we have to put on in our lives. It will keep us in the, you know, keep us knowing that our hope is in Christ and that we will be caught up if we're living the way Christ commands us. When Christ was on earth, he repeatedly told of his coming. Another thing I wanted to say about what you were saying is the people in Noah's day thought the very same thing. Oh man, I've been hearing this. But when it started to rain, 100 years later, the whole time he was building and telling people, you better get to helping me. You better get on board in this, because this is going to save you. This thing that I'm building, if you want to, you can get in with me when it starts to rain. Because I'm here to tell you, it is going to rain. Amen. It's going to happen. And, you know, we can get caught up in, yeah, right, you know, the yeah, rights, I haven't seen this, you know, everybody keeps saying it. But the fact of the matter is, one day it's going to happen. Amen? And more, there's being proofs of the Word of God, things that have been, that happened in those days. They're seeing them, they're finding the artifacts, they're finding the things that happened in that day. Amen? The Word of God is dead on. It was a long thunderstorm for those people, and they every drop they probably heard the words of Noah. Come on, help me. God's gonna destroy the earth with a flood. Come on, get on board. Get over here and work. Be among the church. Get amongst God's people and help us build a saving raft for our lives. That's what we're trying to do here. That's what I preach. I'm preaching, get on board. Help us build the church. Help us build our lives and get ready to meet the Lord. Amen. Let's get all involved because he's coming. John 14:3 says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, and you also may be where I am." We need to get our eyes off of the things of the world and on what's coming. If we can start focusing on what's coming, amen, new bodies, bodies that have no pain, bodies that have no sickness, bodies that are what we want, perfect bodies. So many of us struggle for that alone and beat ourselves up because we're not what we think we ought to be or what the world thinks that we ought to look like. And if we can just begin to realize all the things that heaven has for us, our lives will easily want to change and get those things cleaned out of our life that are not of God. And we'll want to go. We'll be looking forward. And we'll want to tell others that, hey, we're going to a place, a city whose maker is God. Amen. At his ascension, two angels assured that Jesus would come again in Acts 1:11. It says, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Amen. They had no trouble believing that then, because they had just been with the risen Lord, the one that was crucified on the cross. They saw him die, and they saw him enter rooms where the doors was locked, and they saw him do great things in their midst. They had no problem believing when the angels appeared unto them after seeing him taken up into glory right before their very eyes. They had no trouble believing that, yes, he is going to come back the very same way. It's going to happen. Amen. The apostle preached the return of Christ in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. It says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of the mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Do you realize that this morning? We are going to be with the Lord. Amen. That is enough. That alone is enough, just to be in the presence of the Lord. They talked about that this weekend. Amen. We just have right now the Holy Ghost, the presence of God, is an earnest of our inheritance. You know what earnest money is? You put a little bit of that down to hold some property. Amen. But that's just a percentage of what God has for us. Amen. what you feel in that greatest moment of your life in the presence of God is just an earnest. It's just a minute part of what you're going to have when we get there. Amen. It's going to be miraculous. It is going to be mind-blowing. Amen. Maybe that's why God's given us a new mind, a new body, new everything, because our physical bodies and minds probably couldn't handle what he's about to show us. Amen. Right. Neither has it entered into the heart. I mean, think of the greatest thing you could think of right now. And it hasn't. What we're going to see there is not even entered into our heart. I've seen some pretty cool things. I've seen some pretty amazing things. But it's not even entered into our heart what the Lord has prepared for us. Wow. We got great things to look forward to. Let's quit looking at our problems. Let's quit looking at our issues. Let's quit looking at what keeps us from serving God. Let's start looking at what we have to look forward to. Amen. And start getting excited about that. Amen. I'm looking for a city whose maker is God. Amen. It's going to happen. I'm going to be there. The signs of Christ's coming. Jesus warned of false prophets and false Christ as a sign of his coming. In Matthew 24, verse 4, it says, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many." So many in this world are preaching false things, preaching false Christ, and claiming even themselves to be the Messiah. Amen. If anybody comes to you claiming those things, it's false. Amen. Because he's going to split the sky. Amen. The scripture says when he comes again, it's going to be the eastern sky. Amen. So you don't have to get caught up with someone saying that they are Christ, because that's not the way the coming of the Lord is going to happen. So at the time, Matthew 24:10 says, "And at that time many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people." We're living in that day. Amen. Many people are falling away. Many people are getting tired of just doing the right things and just coming to church and doing the things that God requires of us. And many people are losing sight. Yes, losing that first love and just laying it all down for something simple. Brother Pritt? Patterson. Jesus comes, before he comes, the world will experience disasters. How about it? What are we seeing? Everywhere. We just seen one. Hey, which islands? Bahama Islands destroyed. Wiped out. Famines. Pestilences. Earthquakes. There have been more earthquakes in the last 5 to 10 years than this world has ever seen. Right. Yes, it is. Right. Matthew 24 says, nation, for false Messiah and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Amen. Matthew 24, 7 through 8. Nations will rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. The earth has been put off its axis a little bit. It's beginning to wobble. It's beginning to shake. And it's not in that scientists have said these things, that something has happened that caused the world to be off kilter, and it's beginning to shake. And you know, if anything that continues to wobble, it gets worse and worse and worse. Just try your car going down the road when the bearings go out. If you don't get that fixed, something's going to come loose, and something's going to get disastrous. God is shaking the world. Amen. He's trying to say, wake up, church. Realize that what I've said is truth. Amen. What you're holding on to is not worth losing eternity for. Amen. Give it to me. Amen. Give it to me, and I will. You have an inheritance. Don't give up that inheritance for just a mere little bowl of beans. That'll give you indigestion. That'll give you trouble here on earth. Amen. Hold on to the promises of God. Find out what is pleasing to God. Get in the Word of God. Understand and know it. Trust in it. Walk in it. Let God convince you to reach those around you that need to hear the gospel. Amen. You are going to be held accountable for those that He's placed in your life to speak about the things of God to. Amen. Amen. Don't hide it. Don't hide it under a bush. Tell the world that they need Jesus. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. It says, but this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them, the Bible says. Amen. I think sometimes in the church we don't obey some of those commands. We just allow it to to go on and hope that maybe you'll get your act together. But the scripture says, have nothing to do with them. In other words, don't hang out with them. Don't do whatever you think you got to do. Amen. If that is influencing your life, have nothing to do with that. Right. But all this is there for us. Jesus is trying to say, my time is at hand. Are you awake, church? Are you listening? Are you willing to give up your pleasures and your conveniences to go tell somebody else that it's time? Jesus is coming. Turn from your wicked ways. Get out of that lifestyle. Get away from that and start to follow God. What are we doing to get ready for this coming? Amen. We see it all around us. Amen. That's why we ought not have an issue. We ought not have a problem being in the house of God. That ought to be our priority. The scripture says, you want to know what the scripture says? It says to do it much more as you see the day approaching. Amen. That means get together more, pray more, fast more, do these things more than you've ever done them. We need to encourage one another. We need to lift one another up because we don't need to be tricked into being, you know, to not believing that this is going to happen. Amen. It will happen. Jesus is coming again. We might have to pick this up again next week. But it is exciting to talk about what God is getting ready to do. Amen. I want to be a part of it. We're living in the most greatest time to ever live. Amen. The coming of the Lord. Because he said in the last days that he was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Every living man, woman, and child will have an opportunity to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and to be baptized in his name and live in truth. Amen. We are getting ready to see a revival that we've never seen. Amen. I believe it started. I believe we're in it. Well, it's like this. 9/11 hits. Great destruction. Our church pews were full of people the day after. Right now, people are so used to comfort. Things just, you know, at your fingertips. That's what the world has conditioned us to. And if the least little thing, if I don't shake your hand when you leave the church forever and you don't come back. And if I say something, hey, you need to stop doing this in your life, you get mad and you go off and you run off and do whatever you want to do. God put a man of God in the church to help you to grow and get ready for this coming. Amen. So when these things happen, people take a step back and realize, ooh, I'm not living right. I better get in the church because he's getting ready to come, because this is the kind of stuff that he said was going to happen. God is trying to tell us as a body, as a church, get ready. Quit sleeping. Quit sleeping. Wake up. And God is... Let's stand. Right. He's trying to wake us up and shake this earth and get us as the body of Christ to look up. Wake up. Don't fuss over the little things that are happening to you. Amen. Hang on. Hold on to the ship. If you hang on, Paul said that. He told him he was going to Rome, but he said, if you'll just hang on to a piece of the ship, you're going to make it. Amen. Don't get discouraged. Don't get angry. Don't get upset. Do the will of God. Amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. That if you can get obedience down in your life, you're going to make it to heaven. Amen. Nobody's here to hurt you. We're here to build you up, instruct you, and help you. When you tell your kids if they're doing something wrong, they don't like that. But you don't do it because you hate them. You do it because you love them, and you want them to live right. You want them to grow up and be productive. I'm here to make sure we make it. I'm here to help us grow. I'm here to help us do what we need to do to get there. Don't get discouraged. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word today. Lord, we believe it. We trust in it, God. Encourage one another, Lord, that just to stay in the fight, God, and just stay there until the end, God. It will be much more greater. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name.